Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? God will bless with the reading and the hearing of his word. So as I say, we continue our studies in 1 John. And I want you to remember that we are thinking of those who are trapped in debt because of the work of CAP. We're also thinking of those who live in poverty and know what it is to be homeless. It's one aspect of our ministry here in the church. Yes, when we think of CAP, we think of Neil. When we think of Eden Gate, we think of Kath and Cyril. But in many ways, these ministries are ministries of our church. And we are involved in them because we pray, we give, and with the work of CAP, then we're involved as befrienders. And there is practical love that flows as a result of these various ministries. And it is that idea of practical love that I want us to take up this morning and to try and consider how is it that the love of God flows through us. In this passage that we have read from 1 John this morning, I want us to focus in particular on the first three verses. And within those verses, I want us to see three themes or three words that are continually repeated. We have the idea of faith or belief. We have love and we have obedience. Now, in this passage, John is not giving instructions. He is not saying, you must do this, you must do that, you must do the other. He is actually saying, this is what is true of you. You are a Christian, therefore these things will flow from your lives. And in effect, what John is saying is, because you are a Christian, these things will flow out and it proves that you are a Christian. I want to look at these three themes, but before looking at that, I want us to look at the fact that the Christian family, the church, is in fact one family. And this morning, no matter where we were born, no matter when we were born, no matter whether we are grandparents or great-grandparents this morning, or whether we are children and grandchildren or great-grandchildren, we are part of the family of God if we have come to faith in him. So my first heading this morning is that we are one family. Notice what it says in verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves everyone, loves whoever has been born of him. So we have got this picture of birth. Now, you will remember that on a number of occasions, as I've gone through this series, I have pointed out the fact that John refers to little children. And in fact, in this letter, he uses the term children 13 times. He is concerned to show a relationship that exists between himself and his hearers, but also a relationship that exists between every Christian and our God. In chapter 2, Paul actually refers to my little children. Now, it would be easy for John to usurp the position of God and for him to say, I am the most important person in your life. But he puts that straight here. Even though he has an intimate relationship with them, he says that every Christian has been born of God. And then he reiterates that towards the end of the verse when he says that they are born of him. He is clear that the Christian life begins with a life that comes from above. When he wrote his gospel, he recorded the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to Nicodemus in chapter 3. And he says there that you must be born again. And in fact, that can be translated, you must be born from above. The point that John is making is that within the lives of all of us as Christians, we have to be born of the Spirit. And unless the Spirit has given us new life, unless the Spirit has changed us from within, then we are in fact not Christians, and we are simply people of this world. Now, the problem that John was dealing with in this letter is that false teachers were coming in, and they were saying, yeah, okay, Jesus is important. We accept the work of the Spirit, but you need to have the insights that we have gained through our knowledge and through our spiritual experiences. John is saying, none of it. We can only be Christians if the Holy Spirit has come into our lives. And our life is a spiritual life. But I don't want anybody this morning to sit here and to think that this spiritual life is a special experience that is given to some Christians. Or I don't want you to think that Christianity is only relevant to people of certain nations. No, the picture that John gives us in Revelation 7 is that heaven will be populated by people of every tribe and nation. So this morning, if you were a Christian, you have got your Christian life not because of your human birth, not because of your discipline in learning information about the Bible or about theology or about doctrine. You are a Christian this morning. You are part of the family of God because God has given you new life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, having said that, I also want to say something which is important this morning. I don't want anybody to think, if you're not a Christian this morning, that somehow you are less than Christians. Because every human being in this building this morning has been given physical life by God. Some of us have got physical life given by God. Others of us have got physical life and spiritual life given by God. And this morning, as Christians, our responsibility is to love and to respect anyone who has been created by God. That's why CAP is so important. We look around and we see human beings, people created by God who have been damaged by sin. For some of them, it is their own sin. Sadly, for other people, it is the sins of others. And they have abused and they have misused human beings. But this morning, we as Christians are to have a love that is exercised one towards another, but we are also to have a love towards our fellow human beings. So let's look at these three words that John uses in these opening verses. We're one family, but we are one faith. And verse 1 begins with, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ." So we are to believe. This is where our faith begins. John is focusing on each person who reads this letter. John is speaking to each person in this congregation this morning. We are one congregation, but we are made up of many parts. We live in a world that has got many nationalities. We live in a world that has got many faiths. But John is cuttingly clear here this morning. He is not giving space to other faiths. He is saying, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. If God has given you new life, then that new life will focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Your faith will not be in your natural heritage. It won't be in the fact that your parents were Christians. It won't be in the fact that you were born into a particular denomination. No, your faith will be focused on the fact that you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When John wrote his gospel, he was bringing it to a close in John chapter 20, and he says this, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Friend, this is the foundation of Christian faith, that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus was sent into the world to give life. And again, in John's Gospel, Jesus speaks of himself as the Good Shepherd. He says that I have come to give life, that people may have life, and that they might have it to the full. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, they know that we are eternal beings. We have a spirit that will continue through death. But the question is, where will that spirit, where will your spirit spend eternity? Oh, well, I'm hoping this will happen. I'm hoping that will happen. No, John says, you have got to believe that Jesus, the Son of Mary and the Son of God, is the Christ. Jesus means he came to save his people from their sins. The Christ means that he is the only one appointed by God to give to us eternal life. Yesterday, Lynn and I went to Cardiff, and in a way it was great to be there and to feel the buzz as people were making their way to the stadium ready for the rugby match. And it would have been tempting to say, all right, I am going to go along with these people. I like watching rugby. I've never actually been to an international. I'm going to just get on board and I'm going to go with them. And we could have made our way through the streets. We could have enjoyed conversations with other fans. But there would have come a point and they would have said, have you got the means of access? Have you got the ticket? Can we let you in? Friends, you may be here this morning and you may enjoy coming to church. You may enjoy singing hymns. You may enjoy thinking about eternity. But there is going to come a point And God is going to say to you, not have you got the ticket, not have you been a member, but do you have faith? Do you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you acknowledged that you are a sinner? I don't know if you noticed in that clip at the beginning, that lady said when she first heard about CAP, she said, I can't admit the mess I'm in. Well, I can say to you this morning, friends, if you're struggling with that admission, look around you, because there are many Christians and they have come to that point where they have admitted, I'm in a mess. I need someone to save me. I cannot do it myself. Jesus has saved them because Jesus is the Christ. Now, John was concerned, if we put it in 21st century language, that there were many scam Christs out there. This is the way to be saved. Friends, we live in a world of many scams, don't we? And people are taken in and they lose thousands because of promises that are made by other people. They're taken in by a scam. But I have to say to you this morning, friends, that if you were taken in by a scam Christ, you will not simply lose thousands of pounds, but you will lose everything eternally. John is stressing the faith taught by Jesus has not changed. And we would stress that today, that every broken life here in Newport needs Christ. We gain him by faith and repentance. So we've seen one family, we've seen one faith, and I want us to see one love. In verse 1, it says, everyone who believes that Jesus Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. Now, the word love is used in four different ways in the New Testament. It is used of that love which is reserved for the marriage relationship. It is used of the love that we experience as a family. I've used this illustration before, but I can remember 38 years ago, the moment our first daughter was born and I suddenly became a father, I remember looking down at that child, totally unknown to me, and thinking, I love you. And there is that love which is unique within a family. There is love that we know and we share together simply because we are human beings and we want to care for one another. But there is also this love that is mentioned here. The love that we have for the Father and the love that we have for other people. And it is a practical love. It's a love that thinks. It's a love that reasons. It's not emotional. It's not spontaneous. But it sits down and says, how can I show this person that I love them? How can I show them that I care? It's demonstrated primarily in the Godhead. God demonstrates his love in that while we are yet sinners, he sent his Son into the world. The Son demonstrates his love in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The Holy Spirit demonstrates his love because he is the one who takes the truth of God's love and says, believe this, it will save you. And the Holy Spirit opens our hearts and our minds to believe and to receive the truth. And we are then able to love the Lord our God. We are able to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And what John is saying here is, do you remember when you first understood the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came to save you. Do you remember that love that enveloped you and that flowed from you? Well, that love is not only to flow from you in love for God, but that love will flow from you because of God's love for you. You will love other people. I remember once hearing a speaker say, there are certain people that I love. I don't necessarily like them. And perhaps we all know that experience. And we find certain people difficult to get on with. But we know that because God has loved us, we are to love them. And we are to demonstrate that love. Friends, if we find it impossible, or at least difficult, to love other people, then we have to ask ourselves the question, do we really love God? Or perhaps the more important question, are we loved by God? Because God, if God loves us, then we are to love one another. And that love is manifested, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And this brings us to our final point this morning. We've seen one family, one faith, one love. Now we will look at one commandment. Notice what it says in verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. Now, I wonder if I was to go back to Mark's children's talk this morning, where he was dealing with the maths, and to ask you, how many commandments are there in the Bible? Some people would immediately respond and say, there are 10 commandments. Others would say, no, there aren't 10 commandments, because they're in the Old Testament. There are 2 commandments. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, we're to love the Lord our God, and we're to love our neighbours as ourselves. Somebody else might say to us, no, there is one commandment, because the night in which the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he turned to his disciples and he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Well, if you do the maths, you could end up with the fact that there are 13 commandments. But they all have one underlying purpose. And they are all summed up in that last commandment that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his disciples. Love one another just as I have loved you. Cap. We are recognizing people who are damaged by debt. And we are saying, we want to love these people. We want to love them in a practical way. We want to love them in a spiritual way. Food bags. We are saying there are people who are homeless and are unable to gain access to food on Sundays. And therefore, we will provide for them. John, however, is concerned that the false teachers were condemning simple believers and they were complicating their lives. What he is saying here, we have all that we need in Christ. And Christ's love has saved us. We are to believe that. Christ has loved us, and therefore we are to love one another. We are to love one another how? Well, as I said, this love, this agape love, thinks about things. And let me summarize apply the last 6 of the Old Testament commandments. We are to love one another by honoring family life. Parents are to care for their children. Children are to honor their fathers and their mothers. We are to show love by respecting human life and protecting human life. We are told not to murder. We are to respect God-given marriage. And I narrow it down to that definition. One man, one woman, in an exclusive relationship for the whole of life. We are to respect personal property. We are not to steal. Everyone has the right to personal property. None of us, in a way, have the right to opulence so that we indulge ourselves to the neglect of other people. But even if we see other people are incredibly wealthy, we have no right to steal from them. We are to respect what they have. We are to respect the truth. And we are not to lie to one another, nor to give false witness in a court setting. And we are to live lives that are contented and that are satisfied. You shall not covet, the Lord says. In the New Testament, it says that having food and clothing, we are therewith to be content. For godliness with contentment is great gain. So we have these commands. What are we told to do with them? Well, we are told that we are to obey them. In our lives, we are to live in accordance with this truth. But we are also told that we are to keep them. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And what does keeping mean? It means to guard them. And we're living in a culture that wants to destroy God's commandments. We as Christians have to stand up and say, no, God has got his purposes. And the first purpose is that we are to love the Lord our God. In the first four of the Ten Commandments, God has got his purposes. And we are to guard the six commandments that I've already just summarized. So this morning, friends, how do we show evidence of our love? While we are to love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, mind and strength. We are to love the Lord Jesus Christ for what he did for us on Calvary. And we are to love one another. That love which has flowed into us is to flow out of us. Christ came to love the unlovely. And we are to do that. If I might make one final application here this morning. Perhaps you're the sort of person and you find it difficult to love yourself. I'm not saying I want to encourage you to be self-indulgent and to be totally self-absorbed. But you know what sin has done in your life. I want to remind you that you were born in the image of God. That Jesus came and he says, I know what sin has done in your life. I want to take the broken pieces of your life and I want to make them something beautiful for God. May each one of us love as Christ has commanded us to love. And to him be all the glory. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is a call to take this message to the ends of the earth. It's 464. Go forth and tell, O Church of God, awake, God's saving news to all the nations take. Proclaim Christ Jesus, Saviour, Lord and King, that all the world his worthy praise may sing. Let's rise to sing.